Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me, where have you laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 this morning. Now, on this morning, there are only two aims and two objectives, really, for us all. The first is always this, that if anyone doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would come to know him this morning. There's not a better day in which you can come and give your life to Jesus Christ than on an Easter Sunday morning. And if those who do know Jesus Christ this day, do you know, the great hope is this, is that you would come and that you would be established in that knowledge that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Because the message that we have of the resurrection is the great claim, or the proof to the claim that Jesus made about himself, about why he came, and what he has achieved. And the very fact that we stand here today and we sing our hymns, that there is a tomb which is empty, is a great testimony to the power of God and what he has done even thousands of years ago. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose again from the dead, just remember the proof of it. He showed himself to 500 people at once. That's what he did. They saw him, and his disciples came to him and saw him there on that mount in Galilee. We also know, do we not, that the Lord Jesus showed himself, lastly, to the Apostle Paul. And when he came, and the Apostle Paul was a persecutor of the Church of Christ, and was condemning the saints, Damascus Road, changed his life. And what happened then is that he became a great preacher. We do know, don't we, of the very testimony that the fact we worship this day on the first day of the week, and the very fact that the disciples, the change of the disciples, that's a proof in itself that they who had now had lost all hope, they were changed. And the fact that we're here today, that we are a church, let me tell you, there are billions on this planet praising God by the power of the Holy Spirit to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know that when you come and you speak in occasions like this, you want to bring the strongest argument. You want to show people how reasonable the very fact that Christ has risen from the dead. And do you know it's possible for us this day, because of technology, because of our new screens, do you know that we could actually perhaps listen to someone, a leading scholar in our universities? There are those in our universities of our land, in Oxford and Cambridge, which have confessed Jesus Christ and believe in him. And we could actually have a scholar from the university telling us of their living faith in him. Do you know we could get world eminent scientists which believe in Jesus Christ, and they could give a testimony. We could hear that testimony. And I would say to myself, I would think people would listen to someone who is a great scientist and who has come to Christ. And perhaps someone who is of noble stature. That would be the one that would give us the word which would clinch it for us. But that's not what we've got this morning. We've got something else, because God comes and ministers in a different way to us. And our text is found in Mark chapter 16, and there it is in verse then 9. Because God, you see, has chosen the foolish of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak of the world to put to shame the mighty. God has chosen the base of this world to bring to nothing those things which are. When you find that resurrection and the news of it, I'm going to read it to you. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. And when that news of the resurrection came, it came firstly to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven demons. And there's a reason why he appeared unto her. And like I said, do you know, you always want to bring your strongest argument to show people, to convince people, to put their trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the news that came from the tomb came first of all by a woman. And everyone knows in the past of the suppression of women. And the very fact that in those days the very woman's testimony was not even to be allowed in a court of law where they could give evidence of some crime, never to be called forward. And first of all, we're being told that he appeared unto Mary. But not only unto Mary, but unto Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons cast out of her. And of all the witnesses I'd be looking for, I'd be thinking to myself, do you know, even as a preacher, do you know, if you were actually to write the word of God, if anybody believes that this is the writing of scholarly men, you couldn't be more mistaken. Would anybody in their right mind write such a thing, that when the Lord Jesus Christ rose again, okay, It was by Mary. But no one would even think of saying an add-in just to remind them who had seven demons within her at one time. I tell you, there are those which are in court, and over the years, they've asked for a letter to be written. You're looking for someone, aren't you, in the community to vouch on your behalf, someone upstanding, someone of importance, someone perhaps you wouldn't turn to the local drug dealer and say, could you write a reference for me, you know, that this is actually true. And yet we find it here in God's word. This is what God does. And the first day of the week, he appeared first then unto Mary Magdalene. Let me just try and explain for a moment. I can't understand perhaps her past. I can't perhaps explain to you of what that meant, that she had known of seven demons and out of whom Jesus had cast those demons. The knowledge we have in Scripture is that these are unclean spirits. We do know that from Scripture that they can take hold of someone and they can throw them down, and people lose control of their faculties. We know in Scripture that these kind of people were cast out of the community and no one would go near them. And Mary knew something of that in one's experience. But let me try and give you a sounding board. Now, been told here that she was then possessed of these demons. Now, perhaps there be those of you here which would know of perhaps depression and being depressed. And that's something that people experience. The Bible actually tells us of those which have known of what it is to be depressed. You think of the King Saul, that a spirit would come upon him and then David would have to play the harp, you know, for him. I know that other people can be depressed for many reasons. The circumstances you find yourself in. Something's happened in your life. Anxiety. A person who knows anxiety knows what it is to the heart goes low. I'm just saying to you that you know yourself, that when you've not been on top of the world and someone asks you, what are you like? Well, I'm under a cloud and I feel it. And you know yourself, don't you? How those thinking patterns evolve, how you don't think clearly about other people, about the situation you're in. Everything seems a mountain to you. Everything seems too big for you to handle. I was only talking to someone yesterday and what happened, his wife had passed away. And she'd been dead 4 years after. He was in this just pit of depression and he couldn't pull himself out. Thank the Lord, there was a testimony that Jesus Christ came and he called upon him and he knew of that. But I'm just trying to show you of the someone with the state of this mind. Now look, there'll be those of you here today, perhaps who don't know of depression, but you know of oppression. There are people who live in homes and they feel oppressed in some way. And we live in a world. Now, that's a terrible thing. And there's something more now where someone realizes there's bullies and there are those in work and around them, which instead of lifting them up, and if you've lived with it for a long time, not only is someone's thinking a bit wrong, but you find, don't you, that even the way that they begin to live, how can I put it, inside, they become almost screwed inwardly and screwed up and they don't engage with people as they ought. Something strange. It can happen. You see it in the lives of people, those who have known of oppression in their lives. But this woman was not depressed or oppressed. She was possessed. And she'd been possessed of seven unclean demons. And what that must have made her, I cannot even imagine. And it had been in her life how that had taken place. But I know that when she walked down the street, that you wouldn't take your children to see her. You'd call them in from the house. You say that Mary's coming down from the house. Get in quickly. You wouldn't go and offer, you know, sweets or anything else. She would be there and perhaps people would run. I'm just making the point this morning And the point I'm just making, how God brings this message to us and the people that he chooses. But if I was to preach against the resurrection this morning, and I put my Perry Mason cap on, and I was then, you know, cross-examining in the dock, I would say, well, let me just say now, are you Mary? Just answer yes or no. Is your name Mary Magdalene? That right? Yes. And that you had demons in you? Yes or no? Yes. And can I just say that perhaps you've suffered in the past with various delusions? Would that perhaps be right? And the things that you've said and what you've claimed? And am I not right that, you know, you're telling us that Jesus of Nazareth, who was publicly executed with a public death certificate, which was governmentally guarded at the tomb, that you're telling us now has supernaturally risen? Can I just ask you, were you upset when he was crucified? Did your world fall apart? Were you overcome with grief? Could I say that you were shocked? Only a week ago you were singing Hosanna, and then the one you say had done this to you, had you followed, he was crucified before you. Am I not right in saying that you were angry at this time? Would that not be your emotional heart and experience? And is it not right that you're weeping and you're groaning, and that there was one that you wanted to see that day, of all the people that you lost, that you, did you love this man? I loved him. And is it not now that you feel something in your heart that you would want him more than anything? My Perry Miller Mason kind of cap. Let me just go through the details of the morning. Very dark. Wasn't quite right. That's in your statement in John's Gospel. While it was still dark. And not only that, you went and you got there, and the grave, you tell us, was empty, and then you were weeping and weeping, and could you see clearly? And then you tell us, you hear a voice. What did you see? You tell us in your account, I suppose I saw the gardener. You suppose you saw the gardener? Is that right? Could I not suggest to you now that supposing that you wanted more than anything else in your life to see the one that you loved so much? I rest my case. But it's not the case, is it? It's far from the case. And I'll give you the case. The case, you see, is not just news of the resurrection. The case is the news of the good news. And here it is in verse 9. And when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And there's a reason for it. And the reason for it is simply this, that if the gospel had to come to the Jew first and then to the Greek, that the gospel had to come to the woman first and not to the man, because when sin came into this world, it came in by her Eve, and she was the one who was deceived, and she was the one who first took of that forbidden fruit and stood by that tree of knowledge and disobeyed that command of God. And is it not? Because that's what God does. He's the one who reverses everything around. And as sin came into this world by sin, through that woman, was it not then that the very news that our sin has been dealt with should come then through that woman herself? Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever, one day he's coming, oh glorious day. And Mary, you go and tell them the news The news that I've risen again from the dead. You got news this morning given to you by this woman that sacrifice at that cross of Calvary, where he died for the sins of all who believe in him, that's been accepted by God. It's been taken to glory. And you can know this morning that where you were deceived, now sin has been defeated. Is it not right? Is not that the case this morning? Is it not this the case this morning? That when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, that when he was in his flesh, did he not come and mix with sinners and demon-possessed people? Did not Jesus deal with the lowest of all in society? And when we read the account of who Jesus Christ is, he ministered to the common people. And was it not his practice that women were with him and the lame were with him and all the people and great sinners were with him? Is there not anything then odd about this? Odd about the fact that the Lord Jesus, do you know, in his incredible exaltation, it's amazing, isn't it? This is the news for you today. It's the real news. It's the good news. It's the news of this. You see, you've known in life yourself. You've lived with people. You've grown up with people. You were at school with people. And you know, some people went higher in the world than you. Some people went on. Some people came better. They come back into the town of Narberth. They don't talk to you. They don't speak to you. They're now of a higher order. The wonderful news is this. When Jesus Christ came into this world, the Prince of Glory came to you and me. He came in his humility as the lowly Galilean. He came in his poverty, and he was despised and rejected, and he was with such people. But on the morning of his exaltation and glory, before he was going back to his Father to take the highest throne of heaven, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he stops. And he's got time for the small and the lowly and people like Mary. That's the good news for you today. That this exalted Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the same. And even though he's risen, he's not left us. He comes to such people. And first he came to Mary Magdalene. And could I just say something else? That's the story, isn't it? That he came to Mary Magdalene. And there was a reason he came to her. Do you know why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, if he deals with anyone, he deals with people with broken hearts. He can't help but pass. He wouldn't do it. A person with a broken heart. And when those other disciples had gone and she was outside of that tomb and weeping bitterly, look, was it not right? This is the story, isn't it? Because it was Jesus who had touched her and cast out those seven demons. But every one of you here this day who is a Christian and believes in Jesus Christ, you believe something, you know this is true. That when he came into your life, you only sang it at Christmas. Cast out my sin and enter in, be born in us today. And at Christmas he came and he cast out at Calvary our sin. Just think of it for a moment. And let's be honest with ourselves. That every single one of us, before we come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, were we not like that prodigal son? That where we were out of our mind, we were insane until we came to our senses. There was a moment in our lives. That's what you and me were. Every single one of us. knows that Jesus deals with such people as this. That's the case. He comes to Mary. He comes to small people. He comes to people who have known of sin. He comes to people who have broken hearts. Look, what else do you expect him to do? If you had 10 children, that must be a busy life to have 10 children. And you wouldn't know where you're coming or going. The food you'd have to make, the clothes you'd have to wash. But if you had 10 children, and people did in those days, people had lots of children. But if one of them was sick, which one would you go to? You got 10. Your attention's on the one which has fallen, the one which is crying, the one which is hurting. So it is with the Lord Jesus. And he appeared first unto Mary Magdalene. That's the story. The actual story is this. You see, when Jesus appeared from the dead, he never showed himself once to the high priest or to Pontius Pilate or to those in great power. He showed himself as he did to those people, to the Galilee of the Gentiles, to the 12 which followed him, to the people around him, to those which belonged to him. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. And you know, he appears to his people. He really does. That's the case. And you know, this morning, I want to bring this to you because it's how God actually brings the gospel to us. Do you know, there may be someone here this morning who's waiting for that special revelation where you want the sign and you want the miracle. There are those which are thinking to themselves, do you know, what I need in my life is I need one of those scientists to come and explain, well, if I listen to one of those, then surely I'd become a Christian. But you know what God does, how God actually advances his kingdom in this world, is that he takes people like Mary Magdalene, yeah, the people that you've marked off in the very street. Forgive me if this is not politically correct, but at one time, if you pointed the finger at her, you say, she's barking. She's mad. She's completely gone. And then you see, you know, in the community, there'll be such people that you've had in your family. You say, you know that relative of mine? He's struggling with some demons, I can tell you. He's known of this and he's known of that. He's wasted a whole life. Then all of a sudden, that little waster, that nobody, the one that people have pointed the finger, he comes to you and says, I've met Jesus Christ. I was there in my prison. And I tell you what happened. I've written it in my little diary. You do the time, you pay the crime, and whatever you do, you've got to pay for what you've done. I fell on my knees, I repented, he came to me, came into my heart. And you think to yourself, him? I'm not listening to him. I'm listening to that. You don't know where he's been. You don't know what he's done. But you know what God does? God's doing something great in your heart. And the big thing he's got to do in your heart is break you and to humble you. And the very things of God that you'd give him the glory. And it won't be that great, fantastic argument, but it would be, and you do know in your heart, at one time they were unclean, but now they are clean. And you see what God has done. He's done it incredibly. Look, I can say to you that there will be those who will come to you and they will tell you this day, Jesus is alive. We're a church that does believe that Jesus is alive. We're a group of people who have come to know and had an encounter at different times and moments in our lives, spanning over perhaps 80 years, that Jesus has met with individuals. And although we may not be the greatest, he's given us a message that he is to be preached and he is alive. Do you know, that tells us something about each and every one of us. That you see, God has given you a message this day. God is actually given you this news, no matter who you are. Someone will say, Chris, I can't tell people about Jesus because they know my life and what I've been. No, Jesus says, I'm giving to Mary Magdalene the news, first of all, out of whom I cast 7 demons, the news that I'm alive, and it is forgiveness with God. Look, whoever you are this day, and although there may be those in your family, there'll be those in this place today thinking, do you know that minister? He's touched. Someone's touched him in his head and not in his heart. But look, they may even think that you're touched and you're mad. Yet God's given you the message how the gospel will. And you say, but look, these people are more clever than I and more educated than I. These people that you've sent me to tell them, they're going to tie me up with Jesus. They may be more cleverer than you, but they're not as clean as you, because what he has done, he has cast out one sin. He has entered in. And you say, my life has been an absolute total fiasco, joke, and utter mess. Yes. And that's who Jesus picks for the good news of the gospel. I'd love to have my strongest pack of cards, the strongest hand I could play when you're dealing with people. But you know what God does to his church? He uses the weakest hand. He really does. And he takes such people. Look, whoever you are today, I can tell you this great news. He can come and he can cleanse you, as he did with Mary Magdalene. He can come and he can use you. And you can come and know him today. He is alive. And that is the case. And I rest it. I rest it to you this morning.